Would you stand with me as we read verses 1 through 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he speaks about love. Obviously, it was a church that needed love and the love of God. And he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father God, as we pause in your presence today, to thank you for a hill called Mount Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for salvation through the shed blood of Christ. Thank you for eternal life that each of us are promised if we, through faith, reach out and receive your wonderful gift of grace. Father, today as we look at this passage in Corinthians on love, I pray, oh God, that it will give a reflection back to each of one of us of the aim of our priority, of our principle in life, and where we should focus our faith, our attention, and to grow our love day by day. Father, bless in these next few moments, I pray, in Christ's name, amen. This morning, as I looked down here at the Lord's Supper table, and our decorating committee had prepared this or put the things that are here on the Lord's Supper table, and I noticed the little plaque that spoke of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this morning, I want to speak about love. This past week was Valentine's Day, and of course, it's a time that is especially reflected upon love. And I read just this past week where more money is spent at Valentine's Day than any other holiday, I think, in all of the calendar year in America. I think there were 24 point something billion dollars that were spent for Valentine's Day. I thought about that, and I thought about the word love, and according to Webster's dictionary, Webster says love is an intense feeling of deep affection, an intense feeling of deep affection. This morning, I want to ask each of us a question, and the question is this, very simply stated: my aim in life is blank. My aim in life is blank. Now, you can fill in the word there. If you just took one word and said, my aim in life is blank, what would that aim be? Now, some would say it's success. Some would say my aim is fame, to be famous in life. Some would say my aim is to have approval. Some would say my aim is the greatest of achievements. Some would say, well, my aim is to become a wealthy person in life. Whatever your aim is, your priority will determine that life principle. Your priority will determine that life principle. Most everyone has a life principle, whether they realize it or not. And this life principle will direct each of us as we confront the choices that we make throughout our daily lives. These choices are determined by whatever our life principle is, whatever our life aim is. For example, Some would say, well, I just want to get all the zest and the gusto of life. In fact, that would be more like a hedonistic life principle, that you want to get the most pleasure there is in all of life, and that just becomes your aim and your principle only. Others will take it a little more serious approach to that, and they will choose something that's more honorable. For example, it may be security. And if I'm confronted with choices about security, then I'm going to make the right choice. You see, each of us have a dominant value that directs our lives. For some people, it may be the area of comfort. I just want to live in comfort. I just want to experience pleasure. No, I want to experience success. And you see, whatever that blank that you filled in with one word, that dominant life principle is the thing that drives you and me to do whatever we do. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 14, in verse 1, we are told there that make love your greatest aim. Let love be your greatest aim. The Apostle Paul tells us how important it is that we have a priority of love in life. And today, this morning, if you are a born-again child of God, you've come to a place in your life where you've reached out through faith and said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the love of my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to come into my heart in life, and I want that love of God exuded and expressed in my daily life. I want this dominant theme to be a part of my life. You see, what the aim of your life, of my life, ought to be, if we're going to be pleasing to God, then we certainly need to exude the love of God. Let me give you five things quickly this morning about nothing without love. Nothing without love. You see, first of all, there in your bulletin, if you're taking notes on the points that are listed there, without love, all I say is ineffective. Without love, all I say is ineffective. Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul is saying there, young people, that without love, anything I say is just ineffective. He's saying all I am is just a noise. And that noise signifies and boils down to nothing. My words, no matter how wonderful they are, if it's the language of men or of angels, and I'm sure he's speaking here about the eloquence of a language. They can be the most eloquent of men. But without love, Paul is saying our words are empty and they're without effect, and that our love is ineffective. We're impressed. Oftentimes, as we listen to various people that are great communicators, we'll see someone on television. Maybe it's some political leader who has just a charisma, who has just an eloquence about their oratory of speaking. Maybe it's a preacher of the gospel, and we're impressed by their way of communicating. But I want to say this morning. God is not impressed with communication if that communication is devoid of love. No matter how well spoken you and I may be, no matter how brilliant our language may be, you see, all I say as a Christian is totally ineffective if love is not present. And that means I'm a witness. But if I do it without love, then it's just going to come across as being totally empty and totally vain. You see, it has to have as its motivation the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the people here in the city of Corinth. From the book of Corinthians, in that city, they were taken up with this. They were proud of the fact that they were a very gifted church. I mean, they had all of the gifts there that had been manifested. These spiritual gifts, they had great preaching and teaching, and they had healing, and they had gifts and miracles. But you see, they got away from the main thing, and Paul is writing to tell them that you can have all of these gifts. You may be a great preacher. You may be a great teacher. You may be able to do mighty miracles. All of these things were taking place in that early church some 2,000 years ago. But if it is expressed without love, then it certainly does not impress God. God would be saying you're majoring on the minors if you are majoring on those gifts without love. Now, I don't know about you, but it's always been my heart's desire that New Hope Baptist Church West would be a church that exudes the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in all facets of our ministry. When we come together in worship, when we come together in Bible study, as we reach out, not only into our Judea, our world here in Duncan, America, but also in our state and throughout the United States and throughout the world, through the various mission endeavors and through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and all of the other mission offerings that we give through the Southern Baptist Convention to the cooperative program. You see, all that we do, if we do it without love being expressed, then it's totally ineffective. There's a second thing this morning that Paul tells the church here: without love, all I know is incomplete. Without love, all I know is incomplete. Now, in verse number 2, he says, if I have the gift of prophecy, that would be prophetically to preach and to share what the Bible has to say. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not love, I'm nothing. Now, what on earth is Paul saying there, young people? Paul is saying that in the Bible, if you could understand all the mysteries of the Bible, if you can understand the book of Revelation, if you can understand all about the various symbols that are given there in the book of Revelation, the beast, the dragon, the horns, all of these symbols that are in that book. You see, if I can understand all mysteries, the mysteries that are there, If I have all of the knowledge in all of the world, you see, he's saying that without love, all I know, all I have gained as far as knowledge to know things of this world, in this world, to know the mysteries of God's word, all of these things, then if I don't have love, he's saying without love, all that I know is incomplete. You see, Paul was writing here and he realizes, he's saying, if you use all of your knowledge and all of your gift of understanding the mysteries there as a demonstration of your spiritual health, of your spirituality, and you don't have love to back that up, he's saying you are sadly mistaken. You're incomplete. You're ineffective. And you can gain all of the education. You can have all of the learning. You can have all of the degrees conferred upon you and all of the accolades of praise and the citations and plaques and awards and all of those kinds of things. You may even be a genius. You may be a walking encyclopedia. You may can be able to quote many, many scripture. You may be a very brilliant person. Perhaps you've even memorized many chapters of the New Testament. Or maybe you've been a person that has given yourself and you've memorized it. Let me tell you, unless it's motivated by love, unless it is knowledge tempered with love, coming from a heart of love, Paul is saying it's incomplete. Let me tell you, the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up and fills up. The Bible says it's better to have a right heart than a right head. Now, I don't think I have to make a choice. I believe God's people can have a right head and also a right heart. I think we can know correct doctrine from the Bible. I think we can interpret the Word of God correctly with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we can have a love that is warm and that's contagious and reaches out with enthusiasm to people who need Jesus in their life. But you see, with all of the knowledge in the world and all of the advancements that we have at our disposal in our culture, Paul says to the church at Corinth, without love, he says, you're an incomplete church. Someone rightly made this statement. They said they'd rather listen to a grandmother in the backwoods who never went to a classroom, but she had a PhD in the Bible, because the Holy Spirit had taught her. And I say amen to that, because you see, knowledge without love is absolutely nothing. And with all of the knowledge and the explosion of knowledge in this world, let me tell you, it's still not been able to solve all of the world's problems that we have this morning. Yet the world is still filled this morning with the longing for someone to solve all of these problems. You see, as the problem we have in the world today, we've got domestic violence, child abuse, drug abuse, we've got poverty. Let me ask you a question. Has knowledge ever solved all of those issues? You see, we're not any closer to solving those basic problems than we were years and years ago, as well as in the days of the Apostle Paul, because it can only be solved through real, genuine love that's a pure love that comes from the heart of God. And when God's church moves under the direction of love, so he said, without love, all that I say is ineffective, and without love, all I know is incomplete. There's a third thing he says here in these three verses. Without love, all I believe is insufficient. Notice in verse 2, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. Let me tell you, you and I will someday, according to the Bible, stand before the Lord. We're going to be evaluated on a different scale than what people evaluate each other down here on this earth. We might look at some mighty miracle and say, wow, that's extraordinary. Wow, that's phenomenal. Wow, that's fantastic. And God can use any instrument in order to accomplish his purposes. We don't always understand or know why God does what he does, but we do know this. Even if you have the kind of faith, Paul says, that can move mountains, but do not have love, Paul says, I'm incomplete, I'm insufficient. You see, the kind of faith that brings miracles, the kind of faith that's astounding, if you have faith without love, then what difference does your faith mean? There's a lot of people who think that all that being a Christian is having faith in Jesus and believing certain things. And you say, well, I believe in Jesus. The Bible says that the devil does too. The Bible says that the devils tremble. I believe that the Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. But I know that the devil also knows that. I know that the devil also can quote scripture. We've seen that in the Bible. And a person can say, I believe, but all they believe is really insufficient. and will never do them any good if it is not motivated by a dynamic love that is centered in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not a religion, even though it's classed among all the religions of the world. Christianity is a vital relationship. It's a relationship. It's not a set of rules, but it's the Spirit of God living in our life. In fact, Paul said to the church at Galatia in Galatians 5, 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Do we express what we believe in our lives through love? Jesus and the love of Jesus as we present ourselves. You see, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wrote the Word of God. Jesus Christ did all He did with a heart of compassion. He did it with a heart of love. And you and I need to write this verse down on our calendar. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Fourthly, this morning, without love, all I give is insignificant. Now, he's speaking here about far more than tithing. Notice in verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames. This translation up there says, and give over my body to hardship. The one I'm using says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. He's speaking about a person who is giving everything they have. They are people who've left their entire estates. There are people that have left their entire estates to benevolent and charitable causes, but they did it many times without the motivation of love behind it. You see, if they gave it with love behind it, that's very sufficient. But if they gave it without love behind it, I mean, there are lots of people who give to various things, but they want to be remembered for their giving. A lot of people give to control. A lot of people give things to their children to control their children the way they want them to be, the way they want them to act. But I believe that God is a safe investment risk. And whenever you and I give to the poor and we lend, we are lending to the Lord. I'm grateful that this church, I'm grateful that New Hope has a great ministry to try to reach out to help hurting people, to help helpless people, to help hungry people. And we give food in the name of the Lord Jesus and give them the bread of eternal life just as well. But if we do it without the proper motivation, if we do it without a pure heart, then God says, it's nothing. It amounts to nothing. You might ask, well, how could anyone give everything they have and it not be from love? Doesn't the fact that they give mean that they love? Not necessarily. You see, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you love, you will give. But some people give for power. Some give for certain causes so that they can control. Some parents, as I said, give to their children to control their children. Some people give for prestige. Some people want to have their names written somewhere. They give hoping to get something in return. The Bible says that the only way God will bless our giving is if we give from a heart of love. Without love, Paul says, all I give, it's really just insufficient. There's the last thing that Paul speaks about here this morning on the issue of love. Without love, all I accomplish is inadequate. Notice in verse 3, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul is saying, if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel, Paul said, but I didn't love others, it would be of no value whatsoever. That's the way it's said in the Living Bible. He's saying, I can give you a list of impressive achievements. I can tell you how Paul could have said, I can tell you how I've been in prison, how I've been persecuted for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's not a big thing if I'm doing it and I do not love in what I'm doing and in what I'm giving. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul gave five mighty motivations for his ministry and what drove him on. He talks about the purity of his heart. And one of those things was, for the love of Christ, he says, constraineth me. Let me ask you a question. Does the love of Christ constrain you? Does the love of Christ constrain me? Are you here because of the love of Christ and by the love of Christ? The Apostle Paul meant Christ's love for him and Christ's love for others demonstrated, as the girls sang a few moments ago, at a hill called Mount Calvary when Jesus went to the cross. You see, Jesus gave his all. Jesus paid it all, and he did that because of love. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. No wonder Paul would be writing to this church about love. No wonder Paul would be saying, what is your principal life aim? What is the dominant theme of your life that motivates you, that drives you, that forces you, that pushes you forward in this life? And he says, does the love of Christ constrain you? Notice in Romans 5:8, Paul said, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And folks, let me tell you, Christ died for us out of the motivation of love to reconcile us to a holy God. How much does Jesus love you and me today? Paul said to the Ephesians church that he prayed that we would comprehend the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God. God says relationships are far more important than accomplishments. You and I have to filter out what society and culture has to say. We've got to look beyond the world that says it's success. You see, relationships are born out of a heart of love, and God loves. His love for us was demonstrated when he went to the cross and took our sins upon him. Someday God will do an audit on my life. God will do an audit on your life one of these days. It won't focus on our achievements. It will not focus on our accomplishments, but it will focus upon our relationship that is exhibited through the manifested love of, do you know Jesus, who loved you and died for you and me, that we might have salvation, redemption, eternal life. In this passage for this morning, in just these three verses, let me tell you, he says, I can have the eloquence of an orator. I can have the knowledge of a genius. I can have the faith of a miracle worker. I can have the generosity of a philanthropist. But if I don't love, it does not count. You see, my prayer today is this: that we be a church of love, that we be a church that loves each other, that we be a church that loves people beyond the walls of this church, and that we reach out because of Christ's love in us, and that we exemplify that we express that each day in our hearts and in our lives as we encounter people along the way, for people need the Lord. Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, thank you for reminding us today of the importance of love. Thank you, Lord, to remind us that it really matters not what we do in this life if it's not motivated by love. And Father, we have failed miserably in our attempt as a child of God. I pray, oh God, that you would remind us, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us in that last statement, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Father, thank you for love that came down at Christmas in a manger in Bethlehem. Thank you for love that went to Calvary's cross to shed your blood for the remission of our sins, for this world's sins. And that your word says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh God, the world is passing. It's passing. It's only temporary. But eternity is forever, without end. Oh God, I pray today, if there's someone listening that has never trusted Jesus in this personal relationship, may they come to you today and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Father, if there's someone listening today or will be listening to this broadcast, I pray, Holy Spirit of the living God, that you would move in their hearts if they have never met you, and bring them to a place of conviction and conversion. Father, I pray if there's someone here this morning that needs a church home, may they find this to be a place they want to place their membership. Father, if there are people here this morning that just need to come down and pray about an issue or for someone, I pray, oh God, that you would speak to their hearts to come and pray. Father, Holy Spirit, this is your invitation. You know each heart, you know each need, you know each name. Speak according, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.